You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are the Morning Shift live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is back at the home studio. Gordon making sure we're on air and cooled off with these fans. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. The food trucks just got here. You can hear them in the background right now. We've got one that has tacos and tequila, and then one that has fair foods. I think you can tell a lot about a person depending on which food truck you're going to.
I'm going to that tacos and tequila
That's
truck.
That's what I thought.
Because I've been to that restaurant. I can't remember where it's at. I feel like it's somewhere.
There's a few of them. But there's definitely one in Buckhead, though.
Yeah, that's the one I must have been to because, because that place is pretty good.
There's one up here in Buford, too, I believe.
But now I only go to Cancun.
Do you think they're allowed to sell tequila out here?
No. Mm.
And what's funny is Dylan and I were out here Sunday morning doing a show, and we kind of wondered the same thing. And I go, well, first of all, it's Sunday morning, so probably not
right. Anywhere
in the state of Georgia.
Yeah, you can with food.
No, I'm talking about tequila.
Yeah, alcohol. You can with food.
Yeah, I don't – you sure?
Like, yeah, it's like 10 a.m. or some brunch. There's a brunch law out now in Georgia.
Okay. Yeah, so you're right. That's recent, yeah.
But it's still noon. Dude, I'm going to tell you something. Like, the no sales on alcohol on Sundays back in the day, because now it's like noon, unless it's with the meal, right?
Right.
The brunch law. But, like, back in the day, like, it was really big for, like, NFL Sundays or, like, you know, like going to NASCAR. Like, you'd have to get that. You'd have to load up all weekend. A college kid had to load up all weekend.
When I used to have the boat out on Lake Lanier when I was playing, and they, you know, you couldn't go on Sunday morning and buy booze, that was a problem.
Yeah.
That was an absolute problem.
Yeah, yeah,
you're like,
yeah.
Dude, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, the biggest day of the year used to be, or the biggest time of the week, I should say, for liquor stores would be like Saturday at like 10 o'clock to midnight. You're like, gotta get that in.
Man, I did the Disney program down in Florida, and it blew my mind when I could buy alcohol on Sunday. It was also a bad choice. But
always.
Always a bad choice.
Always.
Well, look, everybody is so excited that we are out at training camp. It's the start of football season. And Raheem Morris kind of echoed that sentiment. He said he can feel the hunger from this team.
You can already see it. You can already feel it within the weight room. You can feel it in the meeting rooms, the excitement, the enthusiasm. You can feel it from the coaching staff, particularly the new coaching staff that's been involved with everything. And then, like, it goes to the field. You know, like, I think The Office talked about it a little bit. It's kind of like a little bit of a corny rah-rah. But it becomes authentic. It becomes who they are. It becomes what they become. It becomes, like, contagious throughout the building. And you got to love it. And, like, I can already feel that edge. I can already feel that, you know, that want-to. I can already feel that hunger, that desire, that obsession to go out there and be the best version of themselves.
Would I be wrong, Bo? And I'm curious to get your take on this. I think that what he's talking about is actually Raheem's best asset as an NFL head coach. I think his ability to get players to play with an energetic, you know, that level of energy that you don't always see from every team. Now, granted, it helps, you know, last year you're still in the playoff hunt all the way up until the final week of the season. But I'm looking in the weight room right now, and I know exactly what he's talking about. Guys are bouncing around. There's music playing. There's heads bobbing. And you are starting to get into the dog days of camp. And I think the energy that Raheem Morris brings to a team, that kind of charisma that he kind of brings about in his players, I think that's actually maybe his best asset as an NFL head coach.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, I think he is I think he's still good, very good with some of the X's and O's stuff and the technicality stuff. But probably I know that there's a big issue in the city, which rightfully so, with his time management, which, look, that's what happens. But I don't disagree. Guys like Raheem is a guy that you want to go fight for. You want to go battle for. And it's not much different in that aspect than Dan Quinn. The thing I would say, though, that Raheem, I think, and I don't know about this version of Dan Quinn in Washington, and obviously time will tell with that, but one of the things I know about is when DQ was let go in the middle of the season, that Ra did, was Ra added some accountability that had been missing from the building. And I know that firsthand. I know that for a fact. And that was one of the things that kind of fell as the regime went on with Dan. And I think that is the – you add that in, and that would make your statement true, right? The fact that he can have the rah-rah stuff, I should say, because rah is his nickname. and you know, the energy and everything, but still have a level of accountability that you're held to, because a lot of times that gets lost. That's one of the things I feel like that's made Pete Carroll such a good coach, is Pete Carroll is a guy that – brings energy. I mean, look how he chews his gum. I mean, you know, the guy's like 80 years old. He's walking up and down the sideline with this high energy. He has a high level of an X and O's, but he also brings a level of accountability there as well, and that can't be lost on those kind of thoughts.
I think it kind of goes back to the conversations you and I were having during the hiring process. And when you interview a Bobby Slowick or, you know, some of the other offensive coordinators, the play callers, you know, that were involved in the hiring process, it's like, I don't want to hire a play caller that is going to get this job because he's a good play caller and then have him just be a CEO and kind of overlook everything. You know what I mean? But with Raheem having spent time on the offensive side of the ball and obviously being a successful defensive coordinator and having time spent as a head coach, he is the CEO style, and I'm fine with that, right? I like that about Raheem Morris, as long as he continues to bring the energy, the accountability you talked about, and he's one of those guys that can continue to get his players to play with an energy level.
If you're going to be a play caller, though, you have to be you're a micro. These guys end up being micromanagers, but you have to be willing to micromanage only on your side of the ball and have an understanding of letting other guys do. That's one thing I give Kyle Shanahan a ton of credit for. He goes and hires guys that fit that he trusts, or he sees a system that's probably he likes, or it's hard to go against, and he stays out of it. That's what Dan did when he hired Kyle Shanahan when we went to the Super Bowl that year. It was two years since Kyle was here. He let Kyle do his own thing over there, right? Because that was a hard offense for him to prepare for as a defensive coordinator. You know, but there's just very few guys that can manage a team and one side of the ball completely at the same time.
Yep.
And that's why the Sean McVays and Kyle Shanahan, they don't grow on trees. DeMeco Ryans, these guys don't grow on trees.
Well, and Raheem actually talked about this exactly the other day, to Mike's point about Raheem running things like a CEO. He talked about the fact that he doesn't force an identity on the team. They make it themselves.
The identity thing, right? It's easy for me to get up here and talk tough and then tell you what we're going to do. Ooh, right? The reality happens out there, right? That's where the reality happens. So, like, for me, like, when you talk about identity, you should be able to come out and tell me what it looks like when we after the day, and what it feels like and how intense it was. Like, I know we all appreciated I know you guys all appreciated the dust ups, the fights, right? It's like the Falcons are really going. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Like, you really get it, like, when you're going, right? Like the fight thing is like things you want to be able to avoid while getting that physicality ramped up to a different level, and that's what you want to see happen today.
Identity is everything. It's everything in the NFL. And you hear him kind of alluding to that, man, because everybody's good. Everybody's athletic. Can you get these guys to continue to play up to a certain standard, to a level? The best teams in the NFL have an identity. We know what they are, right? We can talk about the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. That's their identity. Chris Jones on the defensive line, right? We talk about the Eagles. We talk about the run game. We talk about the offensive front. You know, that's their identity. The best teams in the NFL have that identity and continue to play to a standard.
You're naming players, like when you name the Chiefs. What is their identity, though? Like, I feel like identity is a style of play of a team. Like, you know, we were a I feel like as far as identity, I would want my team to be a disciplined team that plays with aggressiveness, something along those lines. I think that's what a lot of people think of when they hear identity. I think it's fair to say that with the Chiefs, right? Because they're kind of star driven. But what is the Steelers' identity? Because they've kind of gone flipping flopping with the guys.
I don't think they have one.
Well, I think that their identity the last 5 years has been a defensive team that does just enough. They're a defensive-led team, so they're kind of more of that old-school a team that's going to lead with defense and kind of be aggressive that way.
I would volley that back at you and say they're a T.J. Watt identity team. I mean, that's exactly what I would do.
That's great, but I think people talk about the Steelers, they look at Mike Tomlin's identity. If they look at Mike Tomlin, you know, see the guy that this figure that's to the point, no BS, and wear sunglasses. That's their identity. I mean, you know, and you see what I'm saying, though? Like,
I mean, I understand where you're going. I just don't necessarily agree with it because, in my eyes, those identities you're talking about are player driven. You talk about, okay, let's talk about the Seattle Seahawks defense from when they were in their kind of dynasty 10 years ago. Who are we talking about? Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor. You know, I mean, like you, Richard Sherman. Those guys create that identity.
Okay, what was the Titans team that was able to go, to the AFC Championship, maybe once, and then they had a deeper run?
Steve McNair.
No, I'm talking about the Derrick Henry teams with Mike Vrabel.
Okay.
I think that team was more known about, to me, ground and pound and play defense, which is really what the Steelers, I think, have always wanted to do still, than just Derrick Henry. I mean, you probably couldn't name a player. I can name one player on that defense of that Titans team, and they were a team that played a lot of defense. Mike Vrabel's Concar. Harold Landry's the only player I can really remember off that defense.
That's a fair point.
Staying on this theme of identity, energy, kind of the headspace of the team, real quick, I want to play Michael Penix talking about what the valuable traits for a captain are.
You got to communicate. You know, you got to be smart because obviously he makes a lot of the calls up front. You know, they all make calls, but like I said, everything starts with him. You know, sometimes I get to the line and, you know, the rest of the line, like, what's the play on? And it was like, it's on one. You know, it's just always, but at the same time, he's thinking about all these other things and, you know, still being demanding up there. It's been great, you know, but that, you know, just communicating, you know, a leader, you know, tough and, you know, obviously consistent, you know. Consistency is the biggest thing.
I would add in a word that I feel like is kind of all-encompassing with what he just said. That's accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Right, accountability. And that's what he's talking about. I need to know, especially if you're a quarterback, I've got to know what everybody else is doing and some. I've got to give them the caveats of their position, and maybe not so much offensive line, but you talk about the cadence and things like that the quarterback does help with. I think that's kind of what he's pointing to.
Yeah, and I feel like he was alluding to Ryan Neuzel a little bit in that cut and some leadership that he's having to do along the line. Mike can talk about this way better than me. I don't know very much about offensive line play other than what people have taught me, but, you know, probably Mike, to me, one of the biggest things that no one talked about with Neuzel is his that's a golf cart wreck. Is the fact of his leadership and his intelligence up there and being able to see things and being on the same page and being that leader to the other four offensive linemen. Everybody talked about, is he big enough? Is he this? Is he that? Is he good enough? I mean, I think just from a guy that doesn't know the game as much, doesn't he have to be smart enough? Doesn't he have to be kind of see these things and recognize and be able to lead those other guys?
Allie, the rule of thumb in football is the closer you are to the ball at the snap, mm-hmm. the smarter you have to be. And there's only one player holding the ball at the snap, and that's the center. And that'll be Ryan Neuzel for the Falcons this year. So, yeah, he's got to be a cerebral player. And I think that you hear that come out from all the other players that talk about him, just how valuable he is.
Well, it's exciting to hear, you know, Raheem and Michael Penix talk about this team, but we're so excited to see them on the field today. Another padded practice today, and I see people already lining up to get into Falcons training camp. If you're coming out here today, make sure to stop by and say hi. Coming up next on the show, we're going to go in the huddle. Colton Miller got his deal with the Raiders. We'll break that down next with the morning shift. We are live from Falcons training camp on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.
Yeah.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
As we are live from Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch, it's the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson and Bo Morgan. Dylan is back at the home studio keeping things rolling. Gordon is out here keeping us on air. We're going to go in the huddle in a moment, but if you ever miss any of the show, like our interview with Caden Ellis the other day, you can always jump on the Odyssey app to check it out.
Shameless plug for the Odyssey app. If you guys go to 92.9 and you just want to hear straight Falcons audio, you can click on the Falcons audio tab. If you were like, man, I'm really into training camp mode, this, that, and the other, once you've gotten done with all your favorite shows for the day, you can log on to that app, click on 92.9, and go over to Falcons audio, and you can hear all the interviews that we're doing across all the shows here on the station.
I love when I swipe down on my phone, it already knows, like, it puts up the Odyssey app for me because it's one of my most recent apps, most used apps all the time. All right, Dylan, let's go in the huddle. So the Raiders and left tackle Colton Miller have reached a 3-year, $66 million deal.
Tis the year of the offensive tackle getting their bag, right? And as soon as one domino starts to fall, we know how these contract situations always pan out. It's like once one guy gets the extension, all the other ones start to fall into place. Good player. And has obviously had a pretty good run on a bad football team, but as a team that looks to possibly be ascending over the next couple of years and somebody who, you know, team that needs a quarterback or at least just got one, Geno Smith, they're going to try to protect his blind side, and so that's what Colton Miller brings to the table.
Yeah, it's 42.5 guaranteed, so it's basically a 2-year extension. You know, I say that constantly. That's just the reality of the situation. He'll won't, but this time – honestly, this time probably 2 years from now, I'd be like, all right, I don't have any more guaranteed money. I want it. You know, pay me what I'm worth, and they'll probably do it again. Because he has been a good player, and this is the fourth, I believe, veteran that they've extended this offseason, or, you know, since the Pete Carroll has gotten there.
So Trey Hendrickson, I think we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but he officially ended his holdout and was there at camp with the Bengals. Says he plans to be there for the boys.
The plan was to be here day one. Like I said, things transpired. Nothing's really changed. So being here, just acclimating with the guys, that was a priority for my wife and I. You know, things are exactly the same. What I'm not going to do is, as best as I can, like, avoid being a distraction. You know, I want to help the guys. You know, the guys that have helped me along the way, DeMario Davis, Cam Jordan, even Sam Hubbard helped me a lot when I was here. So to be that right now, I think that's what's most important. And this narrative will kind of iron itself out as we continue to progress towards the season.
I don't know Trey Hendrickson. I don't know what kind of player he is, teammate he is. I've heard phenomenal things about his work ethic and how he goes about his business. No, none of that's true. He's there because he got tired of getting fined to the amount he was getting fined, and a hold in is a lot cheaper than a hold out. He's not practicing. If it was about being with the guys, wouldn't he be on the field practicing? And he's standing there.
Ooh.
I understand. And I don't – look, I'm not hating. I don't care. I think he's being screwed over by the Bengals, and he should be paid. But this – if he wasn't getting fined, was it – is it like $500,000?
$50,000
a day.
If it wasn't – being fined $50,000 a day, he wouldn't be there. That's it. He would still be holding out. That's the truth.
I don't know. I don't agree with that line of thinking. I think you got to give the guys some credit here. And there is a lot of value to having a vet like that in terms of development and having him in the weight room in the meeting room doing some other things, and just because he's not on the field, I don't know. I don't agree with that line of thinking, man. I think you got to give the guy credit that he wants to be around the team. I think it's a good faith sign. And I don't know that a guy that's being fined $50,000 a day but it's looking for a $40 million a year contract is – I don't think he's necessarily that worried about the fines.
I mean, I do. I don't think you want to be fined any. You don't get them back. It's no longer the day where you can have them rescinded or anything. They're final these days with the latest CBA. I mean, Terry McLaurin did the same thing.
It's smart business to me to show up and be a part of it and do the hold in instead of the hold out, but it just – I
didn't hold in from the get-go.
You don't think it was a little bit of FOMO? All my friends are hanging out without me.
I think what happened is he got completely disrespected in the contract negotiations. They said, hey, we'll give you $23 million a year or something. And then probably at some point right before training camp said, no, we're not negotiating this through training camp. And he said, all right, well, I'm out. But I think he had some time to think on it, obviously.
I'm on his side. I agree that he should be paid. And I don't feel that he should be practicing unless he's getting paid because of how they've treated him. But I'm not going to ignore the fact that he held out for a reason, and he's now holding in for a reason, and the reason is money, and he only has a certain time to get paid. This entire situation is about money, nothing more. Not in him being there is like, I'm being here in good faith. Negotiate with me in good faith. Let's go. Let's get this going, and let's get me back out there. So, and I'm not trying to be. In any way say that I blame him or anything for this situation. The Bengals are a crap show as an organization. They always have been.
Well, we're going to stick with the Bengals for a moment because they did release a veteran running back, Zach Moss, after one season yesterday.
It sounds like Bo and I, with our co-owned fantasy football team, are going to have some decisions to make because we still do have Zach Moss on the roster from our dynasty team. Got to figure out what direction that's going. But, it sounds like, obviously, they're turning the page. I know Zach Moss has had injuries and things like that that have kind of held him back. So, still quality player. I'll be curious to see kind of where he lands because I do think he's a guy that will be back in the NFL toting the ball this year.
I hope so because I don't have a backup plan right now. And I'm not – I mean, yeah, we're going to need him to go somewhere and
we're
get some production.
We're going to have to look at, like, Hampton from the Chargers in the first round of our rookie draft, man. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
It smells food truck.
Something
man.
Smells amazing. It really does. But down in Miami, you might see Tua playing in the preseason if he gets a choice. Tua says he's not too cool to play and wants to get some reps in.
I definitely love to get some preseason snaps in, no doubt. It's a new season. It's a new year. Got to get things tuned in with the guys again, all of that. I don't think I'm better than anyone on this team or think I'm too cool to get reps on, you know, during preseason games. Like, no, like, I don't mind that at all. I would love that.
It's a good answer. I'm sure he would like it. I don't know if they want it. Tua is a different situation for me because he's a guy that, you play him in the preseason, he gets hurt, and that's a really big deal because of his history. But I wouldn't play him at all in the preseason, not with his history. And I'm glad he says that. I think that's what you want your quarterback to say. But no, hold a helmet. Don't even bring your helmet. Just wear a baseball cap.
I'm with you. It was the right thing to say, and you know that I love Tua and everything he's brought to the table. But you can't stand up in front of the media or your teammates and say, nah, I'm kind of worried about getting hurt. I don't think it's really a good thing for me to play. I mean, the rest of his team will be playing for the most part. I would say if you're 90, 91-man roster, whatever it is right now, I would say down in Miami at least 75 of them are going to be suiting up. So it just is what it is. He's saying all the right things. It's every cut that we hear on this show from Tua, and we also hear, you know, the conversation about Tyreek Hill and how, you know, you need to repair that relationship and things like that. It does seem like he is – you know, he's that vet guy. He's a veteran quarterback who, a lot is on the shoulders for him and that team and that coaching staff. And I think he's saying all the right things. I think that's what you want to hear. And, we'll obviously see that team down the road here, against the Falcons.
Well, and I've got an unfortunate update about Browns cornerback Martin Emerson Jr. Story we keep hearing over and over lately. He is out for the season with a torn Achilles.
Yeah. Martin Emerson Jr. is actually went to the same high school I did.
Really?
Yeah, he's from Pensacola, Florida. So that is tough, man. And
does he say Mobile or Mobile?
I'm positive he says Mobile. You know what I mean? So we'll see what happens. But, it's unfortunate for him. Really, really good player, good dude. And so, that's – I'm telling you, man, Cleveland, They got to get things right at some point.
I remember, I don't know, it's probably like, I guess I was right out of high school in that time frame, like the early 2000s, where the ACL was the injury, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was like 12 months. Then you didn't come back right for a little while. And so for some guys, it still is. Caden Ellis told us that for him, he still was. It looked like Kyle Pitts, very same. I feel like that's the Achilles now. Like the ACL, you're like, oh, it's an ACL, you'll be back in 8 months. But Achilles, you're like, I'll see you in 2 years at full speed. It is an injury that is just really hitting people, and it just seemed to be so much more common these days.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, man. But you're right. I mean, it's one of those things that you got to keep your head on a swivel for, and it just keeps happening.
Dan Marino was the first guy I remember tearing his Achilles. And I think he was he was playing against Cleveland, and he scrambles out of the pocket and tears it on the sideline.
Mm.
Oof, it's just so scary. I mean, and that's something everybody in this city was worried about yesterday, was the future of Ronald Acuna. But then you look back, hindsight, like, oh, okay, maybe he didn't, because he did jog off the field. We're going to dive into that momentarily. But does it mean that Ronald can play? If he didn't tear his Achilles, should he play, even though he's got a strain? We'll talk about that. Plus, we've got him mic'd up.
Yeah, obviously a lot of these athletes, when we talk about injuries, we talk about health and things like that, Their lives, their health is front and center for a lot of people. But I think one national network host went a little bit too far yesterday on national television. I'll let you hear that coming up on the other side.
That is next with the Morning Shift, live from Falcons Training Camp on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift, and we are live from Falcons Training Camp in Flowery Branch, where I am seeing tons of people lining up to get in for practice today. Another padded practice. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson and Bo Morgan. This hour has been brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. And we've got wake-up call coming up at 8 a.m. We were reviewing this article that Brandon Marcello put out saying that Georgia has one of the easiest schedules in the SEC. It's really debatable. So we want to know from you, who do you think Georgia's toughest opponent is going to be this season?
Yeah, I think there's a number of options out there. First of all, you do have two neutral site rivalry games for the Georgia Bulldogs. You also have Bama and Texas that'll be coming to town over in Athens. The week three game up in Knoxville against the Tennessee team that could be kind of sneaky good. You also go on the road to Auburn, and you welcome a team in Ole Miss in Athens that you didn't have much success against last year. So there are a bunch of them out there. I don't think that they're the 14th hardest schedule in the SEC. I think Brandon Marcello did a nice job in this article, but kind of leaning a little bit too much in the road and home matchups. At some point, you got to look at the quality of teams you're actually squaring up with on the field, and I think that kind of got away from Brandon, at least in that aspect.
Yeah, he took into accountability how good certain teams are for who they're playing. I mean, Florida to me has one of the toughest schedules again this year in the country, because it's essentially the exact same schedule they played last year, just that you flip the home and road games. But he had Vanderbilt, Miss State, and Kentucky, I think, is the three hardest. And I think it's just because he thinks good those teams are going to be. I think he overvalued Georgia and how good they are, and undervalued that how good of teams they actually are playing this year. To me. But I mean, what do I know? I mean, I'm not a knower of ball like some of the guys at CBSSports.com.
I am curious too. I think I've been trying so much over the last couple of weeks to get a temperature on the confidence level of Georgia fans. It's almost like you look at it and go, okay, we're not going to lose more than two games because historically you just look at what Kirby Smart's been able to do recently and you say, that's probably right. But then you also look at it and go, okay, which two? And the confidence level, I can't really get a gauge on where Georgia fans are right now.
I don't think college football fans as a whole know what a good year is anymore.
Fair point.
I mean, how many games did they lose last year?
Two.
Yeah, and they were
Three in the end. But yeah,
they were SEC champions. They lost in the quarterfinals of the college football playoff, and most fans are probably disappointed. And more so, I think, because they lost two games. Yeah. Than anything, because I think fans are college football fans are used to lose. You know, two games is not a great year. You know, 1 year you lose one game or whatever. So it's just a weird error for college football of not knowing what's good, what's bad, and with all the changes the sport's taking on.
Well, and we want to hear your opinion on this. That's coming up at 8 o'clock with the wake-up call. We'll be taking your calls, but you can also tweet us right now if you won't be here at 8. Life is crazy. We understand. So you can tweet us at 929 Morning Shift. Who you are worried about? Who is the toughest opponent that Georgia will face this season?
Well, and just in case your grass is getting tall this morning because of all that rain last night, here's a reminder that cut-down day is what every pro football player dreads. I can attest to that. But this year, Sports Radio 929 The Game is celebrating cut-down day by giving you a chance to cut down your yard and side. On August 27th at 4 p.m. when the pro football cut deadline hits, we'll be giving one lucky listener a Rolux Reel mower. It's a chance to win the ultimate tool to cut down your yard in style. For contest rules and to enter, visit 929thegame.com.
Look, we are so excited for practice today. It's another padded practice, a lot to watch out for, but I would be remiss if we didn't mention that the Falcons did work out former Bucs safety Jordan Whitehead. So if they were to sign him, how do you think that would impact the battle for the second safety spot next to Jesse Bates?
I think it would mean that the veteran you have in Jordan Fuller is something you don't like. That's what the first thing I would jump to, or not necessarily don't like, but you're looking more from, or maybe you want another veteran in the mix in case something was to happen. That's the first thing. Mike, that's the first thing I think of is where is Jordan Fuller standing or what role would Jordan Whitehead have, because we saw Xavier Watts on Tuesday, first day of pads, take all the first team snaps, right, next to Jesse Bates. So, you know, not being in those kind of situations, that's the first thing I would think of.
Yeah. I'm really interested to see kind of where this goes, because I don't know a ton about Jordan Whitehead's game. I know he does have some recent history with Jeff Ulbrich up in New York, was up there for a couple of years. We've obviously seen him in and around the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Did have the car accident right before week 18 last season that kind of ended things with Tampa Bay, and I think there was a neck injury that, like you said, just got cleared from. But to me, he is kind of like Jesse Bates. So I would be curious to see how that fits. Is this simply, hey, let's work out and talk to a guy that we think could be a good backup? Does it give us an opportunity to put three safeties on the field? I think that's something that you could kind of look at. But it's weird because we've talked about three guys kind of in that rotation and battling it out for that strong safety spot. It doesn't seem to fit for me. So I'd be curious to see kind of what their plan is if they did bring him in, or maybe this is just simply kicking the tires on something that could happen down the road, because I know he has that injury that passed with Jeff Ulbrich.
Well, and I know we get to talk to Jesse Bates later today after practice. We'll get to play that for you tomorrow. Is there any chance we get any insight from him on?
I'm not going to ask him about the Falcons working out players that play a similar position to him. But you know, look, he's obviously an insightful veteran, and it'll be a lot of fun to have some conversations with him.
Maybe some reporter will. I mean, we've had reporters step in front of us as we go to do an interview and ask about contract situations.
The amount of wherewithal that some media members have, and this goes all the way back to my dealings with him, it's like, dude, did you think about that? And it fits exactly into the narrative I'm going to talk about and mic'd up here in about 5 minutes.
Because
it's like, dude, I think you should have probably thought about that before you let that one out of the mouth.
Normally Mike gets a little irritated with me when I do that, but I think that time even he was irritated.
Yes, it just gets to a point of just ridiculousness sometimes.
There are boundaries. All right, so yesterday, this time yesterday, we were worried that Ronald Acuña Jr. had torn his Achilles. Thank goodness. We have since found out it is a grade 1 calf strain. But does that mean he should really go back out and play if he could in 2 to 3 weeks?
Take your time. Whenever he is healthy, I have no problem with players playing. That's what they do. I'm not a bubble wrap guy. I will go on to say that I understand the sentiment, but are you going to turn around and tell me that he's that? I'll tell Ronald Acuña this. Here's what we want to do. We want you to be healthy. We don't want you to play the rest of the season. And we don't want you to play in winter league ball either. Okay? We don't want you going home and playing in the league that he plays in every winter when healthy. We want you to just come to spring training. We want you to work out all offseason and come to spring training and let's go then. But that's the problem with this whole, he shouldn't be playing. They should have benched him as soon as they were out of the playoffs. It's a fallacy. It's a flawed argument. It's kind of just, I want to yell at the sky because I'm angry at everyone or something and I don't know what to do or say. Because here's the deal. He's going to go play in it. And what if he gets hurt down there? Mm-hmm. And you just sat him for nothing. And I know there's nothing to gain, but it's ridiculous. Like, I think ball players should play. That's what they do. That's how they stay in. That's why their bodies have some of the durability of it, is just playing.
Yeah. I remember last year when he did tear his knee up, that there was a tweet put out that you and I both wanted to bang our head on the center block
that's
wall
the
about.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
That was, you know, Ronald Acuña shouldn't even play in 2025. And mind you, that he has been one of the greatest things that's happened to this team in 2025. He had an all-star season. Yeah. He was going to even play in the home run derby. So it kind of goes along the lines of the nerve. I understand people's hesitance, but baseball players play. How many times do we talk about timing and, hey, it's going to take him a while to get right? Like, it's just Ronald Acuña has fun playing this game. It is his persona. We talked earlier about Raheem Morris getting in front of the team and talking about the personality of the team and everything that else comes along with it. The personality of the Atlanta Braves when they are good is Ronald Acuña Jr. He's got to be a part of this lineup to me before the end of the season if he's healthy. And I put it out there earlier, and I think you agree, my best guess is first week in September.
Well, I said that's a 4 weeks. That's 4 weeks. That's a month, essentially. I would take the last 2 weeks. I don't care. Whatever. I'm not going to put a timeline because of where the season is, right?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this. If I've got a player that I can't play, why do I have him? What's the point of – we're a couple of years away having to figure out where the future is with Ronald Acuña Jr. And if I can't play him, or I've got to treat him like he's he's a bubble boy, then we've got to move on. I mean,
like he's the kid from Little Giants.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm a big Ronald Acuña Jr. fan. I'm not knocking him, but the reality is this don't play him anymore thing is a little bit ridiculous. What are those people going to say when he's playing in December and January and you're watching the Ronald Acuña Jr. highlights and you're like, "Yeah, I didn't get to watch that because we couldn't play him because it was lost season, but I can watch him play at home."
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a little bit unfortunate.
But get him healthy.
The health of Ronald Acuña Jr. will be front and center. We'll be asking questions about it for the foreseeable future. There was somebody else yesterday on a network television show that had questions asked about his health as well. Let's do it, Dylan. And as always, your daily friendly reminder that today's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. I actually might hit the one in Hamilton Mill as we leave here today. That one's really, really good. I hung out with some people there at the one in Hamilton Mill last year. Always fun getting into Buffalo's Cafe, getting some of them wings. They have a lot of fun stuff for the fall football season there on the menu. Okay, like I just talked about, there are certain things about being a professional athlete that everything seems like it's available, particularly when you are one of the best athletes in your sport. Now, last year, it shook the foundation of the NBA when Luka Doncic was shipped off to the Los Angeles Lakers. A lot of people have made fun of the Dallas Mavericks. Yesterday, he joined the Today Show on NBC. Everything was really cool. He's talking about the health magazine covers and getting in shape and, you know, taking a month off from basketball. But right there at the end, host Craig Melvin, he took it just a little bit too far.
This is old Luca. Here's a picture of Luca from...
That's a couple months ago.
That's 3 months ago. That's 3 months ago. Right side, this is a photo from one of your workouts.
Wow.
You said this offseason was different from you.
I actually gave up playing basketball for 1 month.
Oh.
Which I never done in my life. So it was kind of challenging, but it was awfully good.
Why did you give up basketball for 1 month?
This time mentally, you know, basketball I've been playing my whole life. So I won't forget how to play basketball in 1 month. So we try other sports to try. So... I think it was a good thing.
You felt like you needed to step away from the game in order to focus on the fitness aspect of it.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was just diet and exercise. That's it.
Yeah.
No Ozempic, none of those shots or anything.
Let me give you guys a piece of life advice. Don't ever ask anybody if they're on Ozempic, okay? Don't, like, period. Point blank, if you just have a friend or somebody that you just meet in real life, don't ever say, oh, man, you look great. Are you on Ozempic? Don't ever do that. Definitely don't ever do it if you're on national television as a national television host. And definitely don't do it to Luka Doncic, whose health has been front and center for every single person over the last,
no
what,
Ozempic,
8 months?
None of those shots,
I mean, it's absolutely... It's ridiculous. Like, I like when I saw this, I was like, what are we even doing? And I'm a huge fan of Craig Mahomes. A lot of people don't understand. He's actually married to Lindsay Zarniak, who we've all had a crush on at some point in time, used to be on SportsCenter. But that man, that he missed the moment right there asking him if he was on Ozempic. I was like, bro, this is a professional athlete in his prime, and you just said, are you on Ozempic?
Am I allowed to speak? No, I was told not to speak during your segment by Dave Archer, so I want to make sure.
Dave Archer's
you.
Doing the Lord's work, man.
He well, just,
keep, it, keep, it, keep it tight. That's all.
This comes to me from, and I've seen people who are on Ozempic, and I've been in places where people have asked people, "Oh, you lost weight? Oh, did you get you take Ozempic?
Taking the shot?
No.
It is to me. It is
so cringy.
There's a certain sect of people in our society who always want to take you down a notch. Who always want to be like. Oh, yeah, well, OGC so-and-so, yeah, they're skinny. Yeah, there's no way. Had to be probably taking that shot. And a lot of those people are bold enough to say it to your face because they're trying to make themselves feel better about something you've accomplished.
They're trying to make themselves look better in front of other people. And
I think a lot of it's for their personal gain, too, because they feel a certain way. A lot, some people, not everybody, but some people feel a certain way when others accomplish things.
Attaboy.
They want to pull out the Ozempic card to be like, you didn't earn this. You didn't actually do this. But can we also just normalize, and I understand he's a professional athlete and his health, and that's all been in the forefront. Normalize not asking someone about losing or gaining weight.
Dude, just don't do it.
You don't know what's going on. They might be under medical advice. You know, so you just have no clue what's going on in someone's background.
It goes along the lines, and this happened at a golf tournament. Remember this, Bo? Me and Bo were sitting there, and some guy was like, hey, man, how much money you got in the bank?
Oh,
dude.
No, it was a step further. He literally wanted to know what the monthly pension was of an NFL player. And I was like,
dude, what?
I was like, I just stood there. Actually, I was sitting, and I was like, turned my body away from the person and just looked the other way. And I did not turn back for as long until I was actually addressed. It was very awkward.
Like, how do you answer that, man? I don't know.
I don't know how I'd have answered it because you're in a public or a professional setting, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mike and I were. I would have wanted to fire back with, I don't know, man, what's your pension?
Right, exactly.
Because dude was
got your pay stub ready for me?
Because let me tell you something. The guy that asked it was definitely already drawing his.
He was. I will say this. And a lot of people giving the, you know, Luka credit and the LA Lakers credit and, you know, kind of crapping on the Dallas Mavericks. He does not lose all this weight if he's still in Dallas, in my opinion. I don't think that this happens if he's still in Dallas. I think that was the issue. I think both sides have moved on, and obviously Dallas landed with the number one pick. I think they're okay right now.
Wake-up calls are they're good for some people.
Yeah.
The ones that actually listen to the wake-up call.
Yeah, well, Craig Melvin needs a wake-up call.
I think we've got a lot to talk about in the wake-up call. 404-726-0929. This is your chance to jump on the show with us. We also want to know, who do you believe Georgia's toughest opponent this season will be? 404-726-0929. You can also tweet us at 929MorningShift, but go ahead and give us a call. It's Dylan answering. He doesn't bite. 404-726-0929. That is next with the Morning Shift. Live from Falcons Training Camp on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests.
Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.